We'll try to get into this. Let's see. Before I start, I need to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 14. Remember the subject title, I am free, free, free indeed. Amen. All right. Now, this is the study of Leviticus chapter 14, the cleansing of the leper. The cleansing of the leper. In Leviticus chapter 13, leprosy has been identified and is definitely a type of sin. Now, we won't have time to go into all this evening, but in the 13th chapter, leprosy has been identified and it is definitely a type of sin. And I'm sure you that know anything about the Word of God know that leprosy is always a type of sin throughout the Word of God. And this is especially identified in the 13th chapter of the book of Leviticus. And by the way, this comes in the 13th chapter, this identification of leprosy as a type of sin. And one of the worst of all the characteristics of sin is that horrible spirit of rebellion. This falls in the 13th chapter. And 13 in the Bible is a number of rebellion against God. It's a number of rebellion. And I'm sure the Holy Ghost, who's the author of this book, saw to it that it came in that arrangement. Now we come to the 14th chapter. And the first and second verses read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper." Now get that. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now, notice in verse 1, and we just want to go rather slow here till we get the foundation laid. In verse 1, it is the Lord that speaks. God speaking. It's not left up to man. Salvation's of the Lord. And any time man tries to intervene or tell God how to save the lost sons of Adam's race, then you wind up with a cult.
Right, right.
God is the one that speaks. And it's left up to God alone to save man. It's not left up to the wisdom of man as to whether sin is right or wrong. God's the one declares sin wrong. If it's left up to man, he would try to excuse some sin. In verse 2, God said, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now remember, leprosy is a type of sin. And we must remember there is only one way. And God has made that way so plain that a wayfaring fool should not err therein. There's only one way. Keep in mind, the Word said, this is the law of the cleansing of the leper. The leper is a type of a sinner. And this is God's decreed way to cleanse that leper. He's a type of the sinner. Although his case seemed forlorn and dismal, and he was unclean and an outcast, yet there is that hope left in him that the plague might be healed and he might be again restored to society and to the sanctuary of God. God didn't leave the sinner without hope. If there was no hope tonight of you ever being saved, this world would be a madhouse. Thank God, God left us with a hope. Man can be saved. For God so loved the world. And then he said in the book of Peter, it is not God's will that any man should perish. A lot of you who've been struggling with the assurance of salvation, and you fought with it back and forth. God saved you, there's no question about it. But you haven't been able to forgive yourself. And you say, how could God save a sinner like me? You just remember God said in the book of Peter, it is not God's will that any man perish. God didn't will or decree or predetermine any man to go to hell. God willed that all men could be saved. But all men must receive Christ. So God didn't leave you without a hope. I thank God for that. If it's anything won't make me want to dance for joy, is that God did not will for me to go to hell. God did not decree for me to go to hell. God had no desire for me to go to hell. His desire and will and decree was that I should be saved through the blood of His Son. That's why God sent Jesus, and that's what this story is about this evening. Now, the darkest lot of human life is illumined by that hope that God is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him. Oh, what long, weary days was upon that leper. Days of weariness. Days of longing. Days of hoping. But as long as that plague of leprosy was upon him, he was down under that thing. It beat him down. It broke his spirit. He knew he was unclean. He knew he was separated from the rest of the people. He knew he was an outcast. And he knew that he would die a hopeless, helpless outcast unless a miracle was performed. He knew that. But I'm glad God left that spark of hope in that second verse. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. In the day of his cleansing. God said he can be cleansed. He can be cleansed. Look in Leviticus 13, verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And you know that's where the lost person is tonight? Without the camp of God's covenant of grace. You see, God entered into a blood covenant with His only begotten Son. God made a blood covenant. And the Old Testament teaches that the blood covenant could not be broken. God cannot break His covenant. And God said in the book of Psalms He would not break His covenant. And He entered into a blood covenant with His only begotten Son. That God would save all the lost sons of Adam's race. If they would just come to Jesus. God swore by His own throne. He couldn't swerve any higher. This thing's sealed forever. Your salvation is sure. It's locked in. Sealed. Praise God, it's on a firm foundation. So God said here that the leper, he dwelled alone. And he was unclean. And he lived without the count. But after long waiting and long weariness, and being broken under the spirit of that thing. Oh, after long waiting, God teaches plainly there might come in due season the day of His cleansing. That leper still had that little light of hope hanging over his head. It's not impossible. God said in His Word, in the day of the leper's cleansing. Oh, He said maybe, hopefully, God, I pray, You'll get to me. He never did lose that hope. Thank God the possibilities of better things cheer us in every case. That possibility lingered in his mind. He kept thinking one day. One day. Great God. I may be pronounced clean. Amen. Lord God. I could think about that, honey. I wanted to quit preaching a while and just go to running. Hollering, this is like heaven to me. To every sin-bound soul, this comfort remains. The day of His cleansing may come today. See, look what that second verse said. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of His cleansing. There's the hope. God said in the day of His cleansing. Boy, that old leper kept thinking, this might be my day. This might be my day. In chapter 14 of Leviticus, we have a wonderful type and a picture of our Savior's atoning death. The gospel of the Lord Jesus can be explained to sinners from the 14th chapter of Leviticus. It's the law of substitution. It's the law of substitution. Somebody took our place. Somebody took our place. Hallelujah. He became sin for me. He became death for me. He took my death. He took my sin. He took my curse. He took my shame. He took my reproach. He took my disgrace. He took my weakness, my helplessness. He took it all. He became my kinsman redeemer. Read that again. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Now that verse tells us three things. First, there is a law for the cleansing of the leper. The leper is a type of the sinner. He cannot be cleansed in a haphazard way. See, God said this is the law of the cleansing. You just can't be saved any old way. You can't be saved by turning over a new leaf, joining the church, quitting your cursing, swearing over this, swearing over that. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way for that leper to be cleansed. And God said this is the law of the cleansing of the leper. He must submit himself to God and meet those conditions that God laid down. So must the sinner tonight submit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed in His blood. That's the only hope. Alright, remember the three things taught in this verse. The law of the cleansing of the leper. Number two, in Leviticus 14 verse 2, we learn that it is possible for the leper to be cleansed. There's the law of his cleansing, and then there is the possibility that he can be cleansed. Look in that 14th chapter again, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Alright, that's the possibility, and we thank God for that. Now then, we come to the third point, and that is that the leper must be brought to the priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great high priest in the Christian church. And it is to Him the sinner must be brought. He gave the invitation, Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now folks, you listen, the only way in is just to come to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm a poor, miserable, wretched, unclean sinner. Lord God, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm a drunkard, I'm a whoremonger, I'm a prostitute, I'm a God denier, whatever it is, Lord, I'm all of that. But I cast myself upon Jesus. No price in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I come. And did you know that the servants of God have the privilege of bringing sinners to Christ? In John 1, verse 40 through 42, Andrew brought Peter. And on. This one brought that one, and another one brought another one. And children, that chain has gone on down through the ages until tonight. And you have the opportunity to bring that poor leper to Christ. You may go out in the highways and hedges. You may win him on the job, or her on the job, in the home, down on the street corner. Only God knows. Praise God. Look in Leviticus 14:3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now, that verse 3 tells us three things. Look at it. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Alright, there's three things there that God tells us. The priest has to go where the leper is. Remember the song Brother Squire wrote? He came to me. I could not go to him, but he came to me. So the priest goes where the leper is, and Jesus is our high priest. That's exactly what Jesus did. The night God saved me, I wasn't going to him. I was going away from him. But he arrested me. The Holy Ghost arrested me and quickened me. And God gave me eternal life. Now the poor outlawed leper, that sinner, you can't come to God on your own. Well, you say, preacher, I'm going to quit cussing, and I'm going to quit drinking, I'm going to quit shacking up, and I'll make it to heaven. Hell's going to be full of that kind of people. There's going to be a lot of religious people in heaven, a lot of church members will be in hell. See, because they've tried to bypass the law of cleansing. The law of cleansing is the blood of Christ. There is no other hope. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this vile world of sin and took upon Himself human nature. Went to Calvary and suffered without the gate. He fulfilled this type, children, to the jot and tittle. He's the great antitype of Leviticus 14. He fulfilled it. Hebrews 13, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The sinner doesn't know his way home. Sinner doesn't know his way back. The sinner's blinded. He's lost. He's unclean. He's undone. He doesn't know the way home. Jesus comes to the sinner in the power of the Holy Ghost, convicts and quickens and converts and regenerates and washes in the blood and seals and makes you a new creature. It is of the Lord that you're saved. Thank God. And don't forget, if you reject Him, there is no restoration from banishment to God. If God ever banishes you, there's no way back. That's why it's dangerous to put off salvation. If God ever banishes you, there's no way back. The most horrible judgment in this Bible is when God banishes or gives a person up. You say, well, I'm going to go on and raise my hell and I'll curse God and curse the church and I belong to church and I'll fake it. One of these days, just before I die, I'll get right with God. God said, thou fool. You can't go on, children. I'm going to tell you now, there's no removal of the curse or the cause of uncleanness except through peace, priest, and that's Christ. Between the soul and salvation comes the priest, that's Christ. He's the only hope. The whole work of reinstating the outcast in his lost privileges begins with the act of the priest coming to the place of the leper's banishment, where you are in your sin. That's where God found every one of you. And He came to where you were. Quickened you, converted your soul. Now, let's keep that in mind. No one but the priest could come nigh a leper without contracting children defilement. See, the people wasn't even allowed to go to him. They were unclean. Only the high priest could go to him. Everybody else would be defiled. And no one but the sacred person of our divine priest, the Lord Jesus, could approach us in our sins. And yet, children, He remains holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's harmless. He's undefiled. Thank God He's without sin. He could not sin. He could not sin. He's perfect man, perfect God. And He came to me. The second thing in verse 3 that the Word teaches us, the priest alone decides whether the leprosy is healed or not. The priest alone could say whether that leper was healed or not. That's why I love to bring that message on why God hates dirty underwear. We won't have time to go into that tonight. But only the priest could tell whether that leper had been cleansed or not. Look in verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Only the priest could decide it. We've got folks here tonight. You've already, in your heart and mind, how many times have you sent people to hell in this city just because they don't jump through your little knot hole? Well, yeah, you said they're not saved. They're going to hell because they don't come and join our little crowd. See, only that priest knew whether or not they were cleansed. And only Jesus knows whether or not we're regenerated. And if you spend all your time trying to put people in hell and some in heaven, children, right, I'll tell you right now, you're a shackpoke. And the mountain definition for a shackpoke means you're good for nothing. God's the one that saves. God's the one that keeps. And you let God, each man, He, to His own master, He standeth afar. You say, but preach, He don't part His hair like mine. Yeah, I know, and I used to preach with them good folks, and if a woman didn't wear a rat in her hair, they thought she wasn't holy.
That's right.
How many women know what a rat is you wear in your hair? See, maybe 3 or 4. That goes to show you can't get locked in on customs and try to make people spiritual through customs. They have to be spiritual through the blood. You know what a rat, you younger ladies, used to, it hadn't been long ago, a rat was something about like a piece of cotton rolled up, and it was rolled like this, and you could buy them in the stores. They called them rats. And a woman would put that in the back of her hair and turn her hair over it, and it made her look like long hair. And because some of them said, well, if her hair wasn't long, she wasn't holy, but you could take that rat and fool the far out of them. because it looked like they had a big bundle of long hair. I've seen them do it. Amen. Yes, sirree. You see, that's what he's talking about. Only that high priest, type of Jesus, he alone knows if your heart is blood washed and clean and nothing between. Don't listen. Don't sit around and be condemned by the little whims and fancies and little church convictions that some churches have that they have manufactured in their own eyes and made themselves a god out of it. I want you to know right now, God requires everybody to live holy. He said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That goes for Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, First Pistol, shotguns, or whatever you belong to. God said for you to be holy! 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 This outfit say, well, I'm saved. I can live anyway. You're a goat and don't even know you haven't been saved. If you're a Baptist and you're saved, you're supposed to live separated from the world and you're supposed to live holy. And Jesus said, be ye holy even as I'm holy. How are we made holy? His righteousness and His holiness and His blood is my righteousness and my God and my salvation and my redemption. It's His. God has imputed it to me. God has put His righteousness upon me. Listen. Boy, don't let the charismatic world steal all the fire. Bless God, we've got the fire too. You say, how do you know? Because I'm about to get orbited right now. You say, what? The blessed Holy Ghost is here. See, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost too. Amen. You don't have to juggle lamp chimneys and walk on fire and handle snakes to be filled with the Spirit. There's some two-legged snakes I'd love to work on once in a while. But I'm telling you right now, folks, you can be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen? The only time I want to handle snakes is when they got two legs on them. And they're creating havoc in that little church. Wormed their way in. Got their foot in. Got in there somewhere. Got in a position. Got in an office where they can throw their weight around. Exercise their power. And hire and fire preachers. God didn't call anybody to hire and fire a preacher. Nowhere. Nowhere. And you find this Bible, God called you to hire and fire a preacher. Preachers are called of God the Holy Ghost. And God the Holy Ghost puts them over that little flock to love them and to train them and to teach them. And honey, you better not move him. If he's ever moved, you better let God move him. Amen. It's getting quiet now. I can see tail feathers flying. You can sell pillows tomorrow. Just gather these feathers up. All right, let's go on. The third point in verse 3. The leper does not know, children. Remember this. The leper does not know. Christ alone knows the depths of his heart. You see, that leper, he couldn't even say within himself, well, I'm cleansed. He couldn't say that. He didn't know that. He hoped he was. But the high priest could say, you're clean. And when he said you're clean, that settled it. Praise God. Jesus said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want you to notice something else here. The healing takes place before the cleansing. Now remember, this is a great type. And I want you to get it. We're coming down here. We'll try to wind this up shortly. But I want you to get this. Look what the Word says. Look again, if you will. Verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the lepers. Now, if the plague of leprosy is healed, all right? Only one who had been healed was entitled to the cleansing. That means the leprosy had to be taken care of. Now remember, this is all a great type. The healing is the important thing. That's the office work of the Holy Ghost. You cannot heal your sin-sick heart. The Holy Ghost alone can convict you and convert you and regenerate you and heal your heart and make your heart hate sin, make your heart hate the devil, make your heart hate everything that's unlike God. And the Holy Ghost is the one that does that. Now, it's done actually simultaneously, but the Holy Ghost quickens that heart and then applies the blood at the same time. You're healed in your heart and cleansed in your heart. It's a simultaneous office work of the Holy Ghost, but the healing has to precede the cleansing. And God does it in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Praise God, David. Oh, save it, I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Now listen, children, don't forget, the healing's the important thing. Have you been healed in your heart? Now we know there's a lot of emphasis today on physical healing. And that's good. Anybody sick, who wouldn't want to be healed? You know, if you're physically sick. But children, the greatest of all healings is when God heals that old sinful leper's heart. Now then, after the healing came the cleansing. Look in that verse again. It says, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed. Then we go in the birds. But now look, keep that in mind. The cleansing, after the healing, comes the cleansing, and that admits the sufferer, or the sinner, or the leper, that admits him back into society. The only way you can ever get into any society that God's ever recognized, that's the society of the redeemed. All other societies, children, they're of the devil. God does not recognize any society on this earth but the society of the redeemed. And the only way into that society is to be healed in your heart by the Holy Ghost and cleansed in your heart by the blood. And then that admitted the leper back into society. And the only way in, praise God, is through the blood. And we may think, children, of the healing as accomplished for every believer by Jesus on the cross. Did you know no man has an excuse? Christ potentially healed all by His finished work at Calvary. And all you have to do is to cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And really mean it. Now, the cleansing ceremony, it typifies the atoning blood of Christ. The cleansing ceremony. Now, we're coming right down to it. So bear with me. This is Friday night, and I don't believe, unless you have to go to work, I want you to stay now. We'll wind up here in just a few moments. But the cleansing ceremony typifies the atonement. And here, ladies and gentlemen, we may see a design contrast between the law and the gospel. The type and the antitype. See, the type is given here. The birds and the water and the hyssop. That's the type. The antitype is Christ. And He fulfilled them to the jot and tittle. Only the leper who was known to have been healed could be cleansed. And Christ cleanseth the vilest and heals in cleansing. You see, when we receive Him, He heals and He cleanses us. All in that one mighty act of the Holy Ghost. And don't ever forget this. Whatever God does, you listening? Whatever God does, all of God does. See, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the one that took upon Himself flesh and died for you and for me. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, whatever God does, all of God does. The triune God, we're all present and active in man's redemption. The triune God was present and active in your being filled with the Spirit. The triune God is present and active in your daily life. All right, now look in Leviticus 14, verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean. Remember? Two birds alive and clean. And cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. That's Leviticus 14, verse 4. Alright. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. All right. Now, in verse 4 of Leviticus 14, four things are necessary for cleansing. And I just read them. Let me mention them again. Four things are necessary. I want you to especially notice that the patient is not put to the expense of buying or bringing the things necessary for cleansing. And if you'll notice here, two birds or two doves are used. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And God left no man out. Even the poorest of the poor could bring birds. You see, God fixed it so you could set a trap and catch a dove in the field. And in the Holy Land, doves are plentiful. Those days they were plentiful. All you had to do, set a little trap, and when that dove went out, you could catch it. And you could bring it to the priest. So God fixed it. So there was no price that you could pay. The provision was already provided. See, what could you pay for salvation? What could you offer to God? Oh, you say, preacher, my talents. God can get along without your talents. But if you've got them and you don't let Him have them, He'll take them from you and give them to somebody else. He'll do that. See, that's what we got in a lot of our church. We always got a lot of bellyache. Well, why don't the church do this? Why don't the church do that? Why don't we have this program? Why don't we have that program? When are you going to come forth and volunteer? You're supposed to put up or shut up. Amen? All right, now, I want you to notice the things that were needed for His cleansing. They're taken for Him. They were provided. In the same way God has provided for us in Jesus Christ everything that's necessary for our salvation. That's why you don't have to pray so long to get saved. You'd be surprised if people are sitting here tonight that don't have the assurance of salvation because the devil told you you didn't pray long enough. And the devil told you you didn't feel mean enough. And the devil told you you wasn't convicted long enough. And the devil told you you didn't shout or you didn't cry. That's his job. You see, he'll do anything he can to get your mind on works. It isn't how long I pray. It isn't how short I pray. It isn't whether I cried or didn't cry. And I'm going to tell you something else. You'll drive yourself out of your mind when you read about the crucifixion, trying to feel what Christ felt. Listen, that's almost blessing. You can't feel what Christ felt. No mortal man. And a lot of people feel like they're not spiritual because they read about the crucifixion and they don't feel mean enough and wicked enough and horrible enough. They say, well, I must not be spiritual. I read that and I didn't feel mean enough, horrible enough, wicked enough for all that He did for me. How can man ever feel what a holy God felt for your sins and mine? You just thank God He loved you enough and bow down and worship. Bow and worship. There's folks sitting in this audience. You don't have the assurance of salvation for that very reason. You just feel like that, well, you haven't felt mean enough and you didn't repent long enough and you didn't pray long enough and you didn't do this long enough. My God, children, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with those great conversions in the Bible? What are you going to do with John the Baptist? He's filled with the Holy Ghost before he was born. And God don't feel sinners. He don't feel sinners. And if the evidence was speaking in an unknown tongue, he couldn't talk to us about 2 years old. Now, I love you. If you get mad at me, the devil's your pappy. See, God didn't send me over here to scratch backs and tickle ears and make goo-goo eyes at you. I love you. I want to help you. But I want you, a lot of folks, listen. I'm not kidding. People are dying, children, with the fear of not being saved. They're dying with the fear that they didn't pray long enough, they didn't do this long enough, they didn't feel mean long enough. And not only that, the devil's told some of you that you committed the unpardonable sin. Let me tell something to the church. If you're saved and blood washed and regenerated and belong to God, no Christian can commit the unpardonable sin. It's impossible. You cannot. Why? You're sealed by the blessed Holy Ghost. And He's God. And He'd never allow such a blasphemous thing. Bless God, children. You can't commit it. You don't want to commit it. Now, if you want me to let you have time to shout a little bit on that, well, go ahead. I'll wait on it. Because I know God set some of you free about it. Because I know people live under that thing all their life. Devil keeps them beat down. Fear of not being saved. Well, you didn't pray long enough. Amen. I've had them that... When the Lord first saved me, if somebody jumped up in his audience and testified how they got saved down in the cow pasture behind the stump, Cecil, I'd go hunt me a cow pasture in a stump. Now, I was already saved, but I'd try to save myself again so I could have a stump religion. Yeah, I've heard them. They'd get up and testify how they got under conviction, and they went a year and like to die and lost weight and all that. Then I'd try to get under conviction, go a year and lose weight and all that. And I was already saved. Why don't you just trust in what He's already done? He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He came to me. Children, if He didn't mean to save me teetotal, why did He ever come to me? What if He'd have come and put a ladder down in that pit and said, "Son, I've got a ladder here that reaches halfway. You can climb up that far, and I don't know how you're going to get out the rest of the way." Now, wouldn't that have been awful? You know, God Almighty, you wouldn't even think of a thought like that. All right, let's rush on. But I want you to be free. Now, there were four things required for cleansing in the 14th chapter of Leviticus. Remember, this is a great type of the finished work of Christ at Calvary, how God cleanses and saves a sinner. There were four things required. And first is two living birds. Let's bring our birds out. I think now we can... Birds, these are beautiful white doves, and they may be a little bit scary. Just go ahead and take the... I want you to see them. I want the children. How many children here this evening, 12 years of age and under? Let's see your hand. Stand up. All the little children, you're 12 and under. You're from 1 up to 12. Stand up. Now, see, I want you to see these beautiful doves, because I want you to realize these are a type. They're a type of Jesus who died for us. And then they're also a type of you when you're saved and when your sins are washed away and when you've been forgiven and when you've been blood washed and made whiter than snow. One of them will be a type of you. Amen? Can you see them? Can all the children, can you see them? You see them over way back there? Do you see them? Two beautiful white doves. Now, I wish we had time to talk to you about the dove. A dove is a clean bird. God said two birds alive, clean, have to be clean. The dove has no gallbladder, so he doesn't eat anything dead or carrion. He's a type of the sinner saved by grace. He's also a type of the Spirit. If you're saved, you're not going to run around eating out of the devil's garbage can. And if you're saved, you're not going to lay around and watch the General Hospital. Amen. That's dead Karen. All them soap operas. That's old dead Karen. Child of God don't need that. You can't be spiritual. All right, children, you may sit back down. God bless you. All right, a child of God don't need that. Another thing about a dove, you know, they come to my backyard. I've counted as many as 60 at one time. And I've watched them. Another thing about a dove, children, he's easily offended. You can hurt him or grieve him. But I've never seen a dove scratch. Most birds, if you throw feet out, they scratch and jump and holler around and they're scratched. A dove never scratches. See, a child of God doesn't scratch in this world. Fiddle, that's for the devil and his crowd. We don't have to scratch down here. We've got a fountain open coming from the other way. Ours comes down. We don't scratch it out down here. It comes down. And that's why that little dove is out of way. Another thing I've watched them do when it comes feeding time, other birds will come in, they'll just chirp and jump and argue and fuss. I've seen doves come in, those other birds will be feeding. And they'll come in right easy, and they'll sit down right in the middle of that feed and sit down on the ground and not move while the others just carry on. It's that spirit of quietness. The church has lost that. You know, we used to sing an old song, Blessed Quietness. How long has it been since you got quiet before the Lord? How long has it been, mothers and dads, since your home got quiet? You can't eat a meal without that big colored TV blowing your ears off. No wonder you got ulcers. I read some time ago in New York City in one of the apartments, a lady had a dog, big German police. It got sick. She took it to the vet and he said, it's got ulcers. She said, well, why? He said, living with you. Had ulcers. Listen, boy, it's pitiful we've got so nervous. Think about it. We've got so nervous we make animals sick. Isn't that awful? Some of you are more nervous than a one-legged man at a chainsaw convention. Afraid you're going to saw it off. Now, there were four things required for cleansing. The two living birds. All right? And then, of course, look in that verse, if you will, again, and I'll give them to you. The two living birds, alive and clean. All right? They're a type of Christ. And cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And there are the four things. Now, remember, note again, the birds must be alive and they must be clean. This is a beautiful description of our blessed Savior. All right? Remember, there's two birds now. And the second bird represents the resurrected Christ life. You know, Christ was crucified, took your sins and mine. He died and was placed in the tomb. And then He arose. And the second bird, the one that is allowed to live, represents the resurrected Christ life. And it also represents that sinner that's been saved by grace. For remember, we're saved by a substitute. We're identified with Christ. Remember this, Christian. When Christ was crucified, you were crucified with Him. If you're a Christian, when He was nailed to the tree, you're nailed there with Him. When Christ went into the tomb, you were in Him. You see, I don't know. That's why, children, this is of God. It's the law of substitution. He's our representative. He took our place. He took upon Himself your sins and mine. So when He was crucified, I was crucified with Him. When He was put in the grave, I was put in with Him. When He went in the heart of the earth, I went with Him. When He came back, was resurrected, I was in Him. When He ascended, we was in Him. And God says we're now seated in the heavenlies with Christ. You've got a Savior if you didn't know it. Praise the Lord. Now then, I want you to notice in 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All right? Now, the first thing required was the two birds, alive and clean. The second thing required was cedar wood. Cedar wood. Now, I want you to notice something about cedar wood. Brother Larry made this for me, didn't he? He hadn't been able to come back. This is made out of cedar wood. And we thank God, children, it's made in the type of the cross. And there's some wonderful things that you need to know about cedar wood. Remember, it's a type. The birds are a type of Christ. The cedar wood is a type of Christ. It's a type of the cross. In the Bible, don't ever forget that cedar wood, in many of the cases, is a type of Christ, but it's a type of the Christian. Actually, Lebanon, as we know it tonight, that's being ravaged by internal war, Lebanon is a type of the Christian. Because that's where the cedars of Lebanon grow. And this is cedar wood. Now, God said it had to be cedar wood, not oak, not something else. All right? Now, the thing about cedar wood, it never decays. It's a type of the eternalness of Christ. See, our salvation is eternal. Now, the outside will perish, but not the heart. The outside will perish, but the heart never will perish. Now, your outward man may perish, but if you've been born again and the finished work of Christ at Calvary has been applied to your heart, your inner man will never perish. The old outward man gets old and the shingles fall out and his eyes get dim and his teeth fall out. And listen, the outward man's perishing, but the new man is renewed day by day. Another thing about cedar, it gives off a wonderful fragrance. There's no wood on earth smells like cedar. Why does every girl, the normal average girl, when she gets up, you know, teenager. She wants a hope chest. She wants a cedar chest. There's nothing like cedar. It's a type of cross. Now, Jesus Christ is the fragrance of His people. He's the perfume of His people. And if you're in Christ, there is a certain fragrance about you, a spiritual fragrance. You shack folks living down in Egypt eating the onions and garlic, don't tell me you're gods. And when you come around smelling like onions and garlic, don't tell me you're living on the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. You can smell garlic when people have been eating it. Boy, if I eat garlic, I always stand back. I get way back. People say, how are you? I say, I'm pretty good. How are you? But see, cedarwood's got a good fragrance to it, Roy. All right, not only that, but cedar wood, children, is used as a refuge. It's used for storage, for safekeeping. Is anybody in a hurry? Do I have to close at 9:25? All right. Turn quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. See, cedar wood is a type of a storage or a chest or a hope chest. And that's why ladies like a cedar chest to put their things in. Because another thing about cedar wood, ladies and gentlemen, it's anti-insect. Insects cannot live in cedarwood. They can't do it. It's anti-insect. There's something in it that an insect can't stand. And I want you to know right now, if you've got God in you and the Holy Ghost in you, that unsaved world out there, that religious world that's never been regenerated, they can't stand you either. They can't. And not only that, but cedarwood is anti-disease. Nothing can hardly ever destroy. Amen? Now, look here quickly in the book of Genesis. We're talking about cedar being a place of storage. Where did God store the church? When Jesus died, in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, in the blood of Christ, we're stored. And God said in Matthew, He was gathering us into His barn. Now, a barn, to most people, wouldn't be a pleasant thing. But if you go back and study biblical days, the barn was the place of activity. It's a place where they stored their livelihood, their food, and everything was there. And it was a place of storage and a refuge in case of storm. So the old rugged cross, it's the storage place. We're stored in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Now in the book of Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter and the last verse of Genesis, and here's the last verse. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That's some way to end up a book, isn't it? Old Joseph wound up in the coffin. And the Bible, Genesis began in the beginning. God began with life, wound up in the coffin. But the secret of it is in those two words, the word embalmed and the word coffin. Now, Joseph died in Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world, always has been. All right? And the word embalmed means to ripen or to mature. Where did God ripen Joseph? Down in Egypt. Where's God ripening you? Down in this old world. And that's what the word embalm means. It means to ripen, means to mature. Where's God maturing you? Right here in this old world. All right? The word coffin is the same word you find in 1 John 3:3. Now he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he's pure. And the word coffin means hope chest. A lot of difference in a coffin than a hope chest. But what was the orders that Joseph left him? What did he tell him? The 25th verse will tell you. And in Genesis 50, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. All right, what did he say? When they put him in that coffin, that was a hope chest. Joseph knew there was a resurrection one day. He knew the Messiah was coming. He said, when you leave here, you take my bones with you. That's a type of the resurrection when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ arise first, and that coffin became a hope chest. Praise God. It was a hope chest. Oh, say, but I'm glad. You say, preacher, you never will get to that illustration. I will if you don't all go home. If you do, I'll preach it to David. Amen. Now, children, I might say this about cedarwood in the Scriptures. It's a symbol of loftiness. Symbol of loftiness. Symbol of pride. Now, we come down to the third requirement, and that's scarlet. And that represents the blood. The scarlet and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Scarlet was a binding of crimson wool by which the cedar and the hyssop were connected. And the last thing that was used was the hyssop. And so the red cord is the type of the blood. And hyssop, ladies and gentlemen, is a type of faith. Type of faith. It's also a type of the blood in some cases. He said, wash me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. But hyssop is a type of faith. Now, remember this. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. So when we come to the hyssop, it was a little plant that grew low on the ground. It's a type of faith. Real godly faith will humble you. It'll not exalt you. When you see what Christ has done, you can't get low enough. Now then, a lot of folks say, well, I don't have enough faith to get saved. All right, who told you how much faith you're supposed to have? You'll worry yourself to death trying to get enough faith to be sure you're saved. So the faith he's talking about is God's faith. His faith is what saves you. By grace are you saved through faith. His faith. And it's His faith. Read it in the book of Isaiah. When He saw the travail of His soul, He was satisfied. Jesus was a perfect God, perfect man. So Jesus had perfect faith. So He said, I'm going to the cross willingly. I volunteer to go. I love the lost sons of Adam race. I'm their elder brother. I'm going to save them. And it was His faith, ladies and gentlemen, that put Him on the cross, and He died there for you and for me. And it's His faith that saves you. Now we'll just quickly illustrate this, what God said for him to do. Brother David, I'll have to have you to help me here, and then we're going to let you go. We're going to come down first. He said there had to be two birds. All right, and they had to be clean, and they had to be alive. That's what God said. Now, let me just say this concerning the birds. Brother David, I guess if you could catch one, it may be a little bit, if you can get the one on the right first. These birds, this is their first time out, and they're a little bit. So you'll make it all right. Now, we'll tie its feet in this case so it can't get away. If you got him, if he gets loose, why, we'll just let him go. Amen. Aren't they pretty? Amen. You reckon we can do that? We'll tie its little feet. Another thing about the dove being a type of Christ. If you had a hawk or an eagle like this, he'd tear your hand off. But a dove is so submissive. They never fight. And if they pecked you, if they bit your little hand, children, you'd hardly know it. They're like a lamb. They offer no resistance. How am I doing, son? You think I'm going to get it?
Amen.
Well, I want you to see it. I want the children to see. And remember, children, this little dove is a type of Jesus that died for you. I guess we can not. All right. Okay. And remember, there had to be two birds, and the first bird had to be killed. All right, wait just a minute. Let me get one more knot on him. Okay. Now, let me remember that. The first bird had to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Can you hold him just a moment, David? Let's go back to Leviticus. Look what the word says. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Over running water. Now the earthen vessel here is a type of the body of Christ. See, Jesus, remember this. Oh, I wish you wasn't in a hurry. Can you give me about 5 minutes to finish it? Look, God is a spirit, and a spirit cannot die. So when Adam and the woman sinned against God, they were flesh. And flesh couldn't cross that gulf into the spirit world. So there was no hope for man. Man would go on to hell. But God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Christ, and Christ took upon Himself flesh. Now then, God can die for us. He became our substitute, and that's what it's all about. He died for us. Now, this first bird, what we'll call the dead bird, he was captured in the air. What does it mean? Jesus came down from heaven. Salvation didn't come up out of the earth. See, those poor lepers or sinners, they had to go out and catch the bird. Where did it come from? Down out of the air. It's a type of Jesus coming down from heaven for us. At one time, Jesus stood in the sunlight of heaven. He was the favorite of the Lord. He was the King's Son. But one day, there came word to the palace of heaven that an insignificant little island called the earth down yonder had gone in rebellion against God. The angel said, well, let's just let it perish and cut it off and forget about it. We don't need it anyway to glorify our Heavenly Father. But the Prince of Glory said, not so. The lost sons of Adam's race are down there. And for this purpose I come. For this purpose I come. To go into the earth and take flesh, become His kinsman redeemer. And He left and came down to this island of rebellion, the earth. And He landed amid the sin and the shame and the curse. Lived here 33 and a half years. The hawks and the vultures swooped down upon that dove, the Lord Jesus Christ, until His head and His breast and His feet ran blood. Until the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging there for you and for me, bowed His head and cried, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. No wonder, children, the first bird was to be taken and slain over an earthen vessel of running water. A child of the skies, it typified Him who came down. Now the running water is a type of what? It's a type of the Spirit. See, the still water in the Bible is a type of the word. Running water is a type of the Spirit. Now, keep that in mind. What did the Bible say? Jesus offered His own blood through the eternal Spirit. That's what it does. So that's what we have when we kill this first bird. If you bring him right around here, God said to do it over running water. If you wait just a minute and I'll show you, we better move the cross back. And have you got him tied good? I'd hate to lose that pretty little fella. And I believe when the priest killed the little bird, I think what he did, I think he just pinched their heads off. He had to kill him. And he said over running water. Now see, the water had to be running and he had to kill it over it. So if you take it by the head, just pour it and I'll hold it up over the water. All right. And if you pinched his head off and the blood came out, see. All right. Now go ahead and pour the rest of the water in. Now, God said to kill it over running water. All right. That's a type of the Spirit, and the blood is a type of Christ's blood. The little dove children, where's all the little children? See, Jesus took your place. That's what it's all about. Jesus took your place. Now, when He was killed, when He was crucified, and His blood was shed, all right, then what? He went into the grave. Now, if you set a box up here, what did He do? He died for you and for me. Can you see it, children? All right. He died for you and for me. So what did He do? He went into death. He went into death. He went into death. Now, and remember, when He went into death, He took your sins and my sins with Him. It's by substitute. All right, now then, let's look what the Word says. And this, children, when I think about it, we may have to send him. I believe he'll be all right. Turn a minute. Maybe he'll lie there. All right. Now, the Bible said, then they had to take hyssop and cedar wood. The hyssop's a type of faith, and the wood's a type of the cross. Now, let's just tie this on here right quick, Brother David, if you'll do that for me. And the Bible teaches that it had to be, the hyssop had to be tied to the cross. It's type of faith. What is it that tied Jesus to the cross? His own faith for you and for me. All right. And, of course, the cord's a type of the blood. And now, getting this other little dove out here, and if we can succeed with that, we'll show you what he's talking about. Now, the hyssop is faith. And the only thing that can ever bind you to Christ is faith. You're saved by grace through faith. God gives you faith. It's His faith that put Him back. Then He gives you faith to believe. That's why that eliminates all works. Eliminates all works. Amen. Now, if we can do this other, we'll be doing well, and we'll be grateful, and then we'll wind this up. I want it to be so the children can see. We'll have to tie his feet again, won't we? Amen. How do you think Brother David and I are doing? Would you give us A+ for trying?